23. Weave a seamless blend of fact and fiction, misperception strategies. Since no creature can survive without the ability to see or sense what is going on around it, you must make it hard for your enemies to know what is going on around them, including what you are doing. Disturb their focus, and you weaken their strategic powers. People's perceptions are filtered through their emotions. They tend to interpret the world according to what they want to see. Feed their expectations, manufacture a reality to match their desires, and they will fool themselves. The best deceptions are based on ambiguity, mixing fact and fiction so that the one cannot be disentangled from the other. Control people's perceptions of reality, and you control them. The False Mirror. On November 3, 1943, Adolf Hitler had a document distributed to his top generals, Directive 51, which discussed his conviction that the Allies would invade France the following year and explained how to beat them. For years, Hitler had depended on a kind of intuition in making his most important strategic decisions, and time and again his instincts had been right. The Allies had tried before to make him believe that an invasion of France was imminent, but each time Hitler had seen through the deception. This time, he was not only sure that the invasion was coming, he felt he knew exactly where it would come. The Pas-de-Calais, the region of France along the English Channel that was the country's closest point to Britain. The Pas-de-Calais had a number of major ports, and the Allies would need a port to land their troops. The region was also where Hitler planned to place his V-1 and V-2 rockets, soon to be operational. With these jet-propelled unmanned missiles so close to London, he could bomb Britain into submission. The English knew he was putting missiles there, and that provided them yet another reason to invade France at the Pas-de-Calais before Hitler could begin his bombing campaign. In Directive 51, Hitler warned his commanders to expect the Allies to wage a major deception campaign to cloak the time and place of the invasion. The Germans had to see through these deceptions and repel the landing, and despite recent setbacks in the German war effort, Hitler felt supremely confident they could. Several years earlier, he had commissioned the construction of the Atlantic Wall, a line of forts up and down the coast from France to Norway. And he had over 10 million soldiers at his disposal, 1 million of them in France alone. The German armaments industry was churning out ever more and better weapons. Hitler also controlled most of Europe, giving him enormous resources and endless options for moving his troops here and there. Finally, to invade France, the Allies would need a massive armada, which, once assembled, would be impossible to conceal. Hitler had infiltrated agents into all levels of the British military, who supplied him with excellent intelligence. They would forward to him the time and location of the invasion. The Allies would not surprise him. And once he had defeated them on the shores of France, England would have to sue for peace. Roosevelt would certainly lose the upcoming U.S. presidential election. Hitler could then concentrate his entire army against the Soviet Union and finally defeat it. In truth, the invasion of France was the opportunity he craved to turn the war around. Hitler's commander in Western Europe was Field Marshal Gerd von Rundstedt, Germany's most respected general. To further solidify the defensive position in France, Hitler made General Erwin Rommel the commander of the forces along the French coast. Rommel proceeded to make improvements in the Atlantic Wall, turning it into a devil's garden of minefields and fire zones. Rommel and Rundstedt also asked for more troops to ensure that the Germans could repel the Allies at the water's edge. But the Führer denied their request. Hitler had lately come to mistrust his top staff. In the past few years, he had survived several assassination attempts that had clearly originated among his officers. His generals were increasingly arguing with his strategies, and in his mind, they had botched several battles in the Russian campaign. He saw many of them as incompetents or traitors. He began to spend less time with his officers and more time holed up in his Bavarian mountain retreat at Berchtesgaden with his mistress Eva Braun and his beloved dog, Biondi. There, he pored over maps and intelligence reports, determined to make the important decisions himself and to manage the entire war effort more directly. This caused a change in his way of thinking. Instead of making quick, intuitive choices, he was trying to foresee every possibility and was taking longer to make up his mind. Now, he thought, Rommel and Rundstedt, in their request for more troops to be transferred to France, were being overly cautious and even panicky. He alone would have to foil the Allied invasion. It was up to him to see through his general's weaknesses and the enemy's deceptions. The only downside to this was that his workload had increased tenfold, and he was more tired than ever. At night, he took sleeping pills. By day, whatever he could get his hands on to keep him alert.